and even his grandparents, with all of our precious grandbabies, there's an old sin nature born inside them. I took Jana and Summer and Addie, my little latest granddaughter, out yesterday and Easter shopping, and we would go to the store, and she's 16 months, and she'd walk by something she wanted, and she'd say, and then she'd give me a kiss, because her daddy's taught, if you give me a kiss, you get stuff. So I got a lot of slobbery sugar all over my face yesterday, and she's pointing at it because it's that old sin nature. I want is what she's saying. And then sometimes when you tell her no, boy, she just I don't know where that stuff come from, her mother, I guess, side or something, you know. It would just boil up. But, you know, and she's only 16 months, but there's an old sin nature. There's a sin nature. In fact, the Bible says in Romans, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. And then it also says, there's none righteous, no, not one. And so we're all in need of a Savior. And so if you've never made Him Lord and Savior, that's the first call. But the second call is this. If you're here today and there's a room in your heart that He's not Lord over, it's a room where there's a mess. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe it's an emotional mess. Maybe it's a chemical mess. Maybe it's a whatever mess. But it's a room that Jesus, you just hadn't let Him come in and be Lord over. And maybe it's an emotional room where you hate to deal with that room. And you hate to visit that room. Maybe it's a dependency or whatever it might be. Maybe it's anger or bitterness or something that you're dealing with or some kind of emotion or your past. But it's a room that God hadn't become Lord over. I'd like for you to just say today, God, I don't want to deal with this room anymore. I want you to come in and give me an extreme room makeover today. Okay? So that's kind of where we're going. Everybody got your Bible today on Resurrection Sunday? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can give what it says I can give. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you want to turn with me, look at John 14:6. John 14:6. And Jesus makes a statement, and if you're going to have an extreme room makeover, I believe that you first have to start with a firm foundation. How many knows that if I buy and sell houses on the side, and what I've learned is this, if the foundation isn't right, then nothing is going to be right. In fact, if you're a homeowner, you've probably noticed that if your foundation has a crack in it, your whole house has problems. You notice that? Because it affects your structure of your house. It affects your walls. And then eventually it'll begin to show up, won't it? It'll show up, and when I go in and look at an old house, and I love old houses and old buildings, whatever, you know, just look at them and dream about them and see what the potential of them could be. And then Mark and I right now, we've got a house we bought down in Noble, and we're working on it in our spare time, and we're just about finished it, but it had floor problems, and had the foundation was good, but there were structural problems underneath. And so we hired a guy, and he went under and stabled all that floor up before we ever started, because you could tell in the walls that there was something wrong. And here's what I know. If your foundation is you, and you know, that's like positive thinking. How many positive thinkers we have in the room? I love to think positive, don't you? Positive thinking is great. But how many knows if that's all you have, if that's your foundation for every problem you have, you've got a real problem, because when life issues come, how many knows, and life does happen. Life happens. We lose loved ones. We get divorced. We have family members with terminal diseases, or maybe we have terminal diseases, and life happens. And when this starts falling and crumbling around us, what we really want is a firm foundation. And if all you have is positive thinking and your strong will, at some point in time, when all this comes crashing down, all you have is you. And God said, I created you and I put you together and I know how you operate and how you think and all your gifts and everything inside of you. God put that mix inside of you and He knows how to tweak that and fix you when your world starts crumbling down. Did you know that? Just like we know for our kids. That's when we were talking about my granddaughter. And it's so funny because her mom, my daughter, she knows what she likes to eat. She said yesterday we stopped in, on her last stop and she said, let's get her something. She's getting cranky. Can you believe that? My grandkid would get cranky. It's that old sin nature, isn't it? And so she was getting cranky and so she said, let's get her a corn dog. I said, she is so cute when she the way she eats a corn dog. And so I looked back in the back seat and they were back there. They had a corn dog and all the breading was already off of the corn dog. I said, did she eat that already? She said, no, this is the way she eats it. I tear off all the breading and then she eats the hot dog and then she eats the breading. See, that's a mother. That's a mother that knows how her children operate and how what they like. One day, now there are surprises. One day she had her off the house and she said, well, I had a slice of cheese, having a little snack, and I just got me a little slice of cheese and I was going to offer her some. She said, she won't eat cheese. She hates cheese. And I said, And I gave her some cheese. She went, She said, I can't believe she's eating that cheese. And then she said, was being interpreted. I got the gift of interpretation, which I want some more. And so I gave her some more. She ate some more. She ate a whole slice of cheese. And her mom was just surprised. I think sometimes God does like, we do God that way. He says, I can't believe that. That's not like them. But He knows us. Just like a mom knows her children, He knows us. Everything inside of you, it's not an accident. Some of you that have different temperaments and we blame the bad ones on the spouse and claim the good ones in our children. But God put those inside of you. Now, we help tweak them and develop them as parents, but there's things inside of you that God put together, and so only God can help fix, and only God can make it right and fix your room and give you a good foundation, a solid structure. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then He makes a really bold statement, and this is what Christians get in trouble for. This is what the world sort of slams us about every once in a while. He said this, and by the way, this is what Jesus said, okay? This is why we have to say what we say. But Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through Me. In other words, I'm the only foundation that will get you to eternal life. I'm the only foundation that will bring the stability and the peace and the joy and the fruits of the Spirit that you're looking for. I am the only way to God. And we get in a lot of trouble for that, don't we, as Christians? Because the world says, well, you think you got a key on everything. And we say, well, yeah, we do. It's Jesus. Buddha might have a lot of wisdom. Buddha might have some good sayings. Muhammad may have a lot of wisdom. He may have some good things that he's said and done. I haven't studied either one of those men entirely. But you know what? The Bible says you cannot go to God through those gentlemen. You cannot go to God through psychics.
Amen.
You can call your hotline, but all you're going to do is spend your money. Now, let me tell you something about hotlines. If they hit something inside of you that's hit, that you say, oh, it just has to be, it has to be spiritual because there's no way they could know that. I believe that Satan will do a little bit of good to do a whole lot of harm and pull you off track. Kind of like a drug dealer. A drug dealer might give you a hit or two, right, to get you hooked. He'll do a little bit of good. He'll give a little smack away if he can get you smacked. And that's the way Satan is. And so you have to be careful. You have to be careful. Now, I like Chinese food, and we go over to Mandarin Gardens, and Adam, he got me hooked on that. And so it's a good place to eat, but how many knows they got fortune cookies? And I kept one time. I don't know what it said. It said about something about you can look for the good or something. I thought, it's a good saying, and I want to be that. I want to be that. So I kept one time. But it's kind of funny. But, you know, some people just kind of put stock in that stuff. It's a cookie. There's something better than a cookie to help your life, and it's Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way to the Father. I'm the only way. No one comes to the Father except through me. So don't put your life on fortune cookies or psychics or palm readers or whatever else. Put it in Jesus Christ. If you want a firm foundation and a true fix for every room in your heart, put your firm foundation as Jesus Christ. Allow Him to come in and be boss in that room and in your life. Is everybody with me so far? See, I'm real simple. This is deep as it gets around here. But it's that sin nature that keeps us from handing over. Because we, for instance, you know, if we have a room where there's some bitterness built up in our hearts, and we don't want to turn it loose, because if we turn it loose, I'll have to forgive them, and I don't want to let them off the hook yet. See, I want to still be boss. Because if I know what Jesus said, He said, love your enemies. I'm just not ready to love that rascal yet. He said, truth will set you free. It's kind of like the two little boys. One day they were fighting over the last cookie in the kitchen, and the mother said to them, said, now you boys stop. Said, if Jesus was here, what would He do? And one of them said, well, He'd probably offer us a cookie, you know. And mom said, that's very good. That's exactly what Jesus would do. Said, now you boys need to be like Jesus. And they said, okay. And the youngest boy looked at the oldest boy and said, why don't you be Jesus first? That's the way we are. Now, we want to serve Jesus, but we know what He's told us to do, and He's told us to turn stuff loose, and we just don't want to turn it loose yet. We're not ready to turn it loose right now. So we'll be boss for a while. And then we visit this room, and it's emotional, and it stirs everything up, and it's a mess. But we don't want to hand it over to Him yet, because we know that if we do, we're going to have to give up all this stuff that we're hanging on to. And we think it's right, but how many knows it's wrong, because it contradicts God's Word. One of the greatest times of my life is when I figured out that Jesus, when He said, love your enemies, it wasn't about them, it was about me. That was one of the greatest revelations of my life. When he said, love your enemy and forgive them and pray blessing over them, what it did for me is just awesome. I thought it wasn't about them. I thought He just wanted me to let them off the hook. He wanted to heal me. He wanted to heal me. I never forget, I had a teacher one time years ago in my office, and they had a little quibble with another family in our church, and it was outside the church in the activity they were both involved in. And he said to me one day in my office, because they came in about it, and he said to me, well, what we've decided to do, Pastor, we just won't talk to them anymore. This is a leader, a teacher, you know. And I said, well, that's fine. You can do that and still go to church here, but you can't do that here and teach here. Because leadership says you have to do what Jesus, you have to be like Jesus. If you want to be a leader, you have to be like Jesus. Now, none of us are perfect, but how many knows we need to hold each other accountable? I had a young pastor ask me the other day up at the college. He said, how do you do that? How do you confront people? He said, I got two or three in there. And I said, you just pray, and you know that God called you to lead, and you go and sit down, and you look them right in the eyeball, and you say, we've got a problem, and how can I help you fix it? What can I do for you? And if they don't want to fix it, then you take another brother, and you fix it, you know. And then if they don't want to go, you take them before the church. And I said, because the statement I made in our leadership class was this. I said, if you don't handle things as a leader, you'll lose respect of your congregation. If they know we won't talk to one another when we got issues, then you'd lose respect. And this young pastor, a great kid, he says, how do you do that? I got three or four I need to approach. And it's not easy. So I told this teacher, I said, you can teach if you want to go back and apologize to the brother, the family, and then make it right. He said, apologize? It wasn't my fault. Listen, if you want to have an extreme room makeover, don't worry about fault. Amen. Let Satan worry about fault. He's the accuser of the brother, not you. Don't get on his team. Stay on Jesus' team. Don't worry about fault. You know, if I had to worry about fault, I would hardly ever apologize because I think I'm so smart and right. Shows you how dumb I am. See, that's called ignorance there, isn't it? When you just think you're right. And we do that all the time. Jenna has a favorite little coffee cup. She set one in our downstairs bathroom, which we very seldom use. And I said, did you leave your coffee cup on there? Because I don't know when she put it on there, but she said, not with me. Now there's only two of us in the house. And it's not a big deal. I mean, it's a coffee cup. But I just wondered how long it was there. And I said, did you? And it was one of her favorite coffee cups. And I said, when did you leave it in there? She said, it wasn't me. Must have been you. I said, it was one of those favorite cups. And I described the cup. Well, I'm telling you, it wasn't me. I don't know. You must have got my cup and you set it in there sometime. And all of a sudden, a light bulb went off and she had hung a bunch of stuff in there to drip dry. She said, you know, I could have went in there when. That's the way I am all the time. You know, when I think I didn't do anything and I get to thinking about things, it could have been me. And so what I've learned to do to keep my room clean is just say, it probably was me. When in doubt, you know. And it doesn't matter about fault. It just take the blame and let Jesus sweep the house clean. Yeah. Prefer your brother. Give him the cookie. You know, give him the cookie. Give the benefit of the doubt. Huh? This is simple preaching, but I'm telling you, it'll set you free. It'll set you free. Just if there's a room today that's a mess, and maybe it's been a mess for a long time. How many knows after a room has been a mess for so long, it gets stressful. Every time you walk past the room. Do you have that room in your house? Maybe right now it's your garage. Does anybody know the term spring cleaning? Here's what spring cleaning means. It means you're too lazy to clean except for in spring. In other words, you'll stress out till spring, you know. And we all have spring cleanings. Isn't that terrible? We just spring cleanings, you know. But it's that room. It's that. My office gets that way. Does your office get that way at times? And stuff just piles up. And just finally I go in and my sorting ability just gets real uncensored. You know, it's like, that's a Bible. Better not throw that away. Other than that, you know, it's going in the bin. But it's stressful. And it's the same way when we allow things in our heart to linger that we know that God can help us get past. But we don't. We don't take care of it. And so we just deal with it. And it's just there. It's like on the back burner at all times. And then sometimes when we think about it, it's on the front burner. But it hurts us. It hurts our lives. It hurts our joy. It hurts our thinking. And I'll tell you what else it does. It hurts our blessings that God wants to give us because there's a dark spot in our life that He says, you know what? There's some darkness in that area because now you're the Lord, you're the boss of that area because you won't turn it loose. It's like that crack in the foundation. And when the foundation is not Jesus, there's cracks in the exterior and things come in. The elements come in. Light and water and moisture and all these things come in. And how many knows when that comes into a room, it does devastating things that we don't want to happen. And so the only foundation, the only way to seal up those cracks is through Jesus Christ. Look in Luke 4:18. Remember, now he said he's the only way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's Jesus' own statement. Really important to remember that. So next time somebody bashes you as a Christian for saying, you think you got the only way, don't you? And you say, well, yes, we do. We believe, number one, the Bible's true, and we believe Jesus is true, and he's not a liar, so yes, I'm afraid that's correct. Just have to say guilty. You know, you don't have to beat around the bush. Just Jesus is either who he said he was or he's a lunatic. Or a liar. because he said, I am the only way. Now, here's something to give to skeptics, and that is this. You know what? If there had been another way, I believe when Jesus was in the garden and his sweat was becoming like great drops of blood, the Father would have said, you know what, son, there is another way. I didn't know it was going to affect you like this. I had no idea. And there is another way, because with me, all things are possible. And so we'll just do it another way. And he'll bring in a whole herd of lambs that's not without blemish or something. But he said, there's no other way. And he said, well, then good. It's enough. That's all I needed to know from you. And he went to the cross. And how awful would that be of God if there was another way? There's not another way. It's Jesus. And we ought to never be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And he's being the only way. Listen, if you've got a room out of sorts, here's what Jesus said in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And not necessarily financially poor, but the bankrupt of spirit. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to have an extreme makeover in your heart. And I'm telling you, when you let him come in and put a firm foundation under any room that you've struggled with for years, you can just see the cracks begin to heal up and seal. And all the elements that used to affect and decay that room, you can see them just be washed white as snow through the power, the resurrection power that we're celebrating today of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Or you can just keep your room. I read a statement the other day that says, you know, when we allow things to come into our life, we go from a right and wrong conscious to a will I get caught conscious. And if you've gone to a will I get caught, will they find me out conscious, man, you're steeped in sin and you need an extreme makeover. Huh? Now, I want to give you this. The first thing we need to do, if you want an extreme room makeover today, and the Holy Spirit, I've already asked Him to shine a light in our hearts today and to say if there's a room that you need to be boss over, Lord, that we need to give you control over, to just shine a light in each of our hearts today and let us know. And so if some room has come to light while I've been talking, that's because the Holy Spirit's been working with you and saying, this is a room that I need to come in and do the healing in. That's the Holy Spirit quickening you. But the first thing we need to do is kind of like Alcoholics Anonymous. You just need to say, you know what? I don't want to be Lord anymore. I need a foundation. I need an extreme room makeover today. That's the first step. It's just saying, I need a Savior in this area. I need repair. I need healing in this area. And I believe this, and you may not believe it, but this is the way I believe. I believe that every person that in this on this planet hears three different voices, and I'm not schizophrenic. How many if you were put on a stand, a witness stand, and they looked at you and is trying to decide if you were competent or not, how many of them, if they said to you, sir, do you hear voices? You'd have to say,
guilty.
Because how many knows the Holy Spirit's talking to you?
Amen.
Yeah. Now some of you, you know, you'd be just fine. You'd say, no, I don't hear any voices. And you'd go right on, you know, because you probably really don't. I had one of my aunts in her 60s, 70s say, I've heard people say you can hear the voice of God. I've never heard anything. And I thought, I bet you haven't. She was just, you know. If I was Jesus, I wouldn't talk to you either. No, I prayed for it and stuff, you know, but boy, you know, I mean, he's a gentleman now. He's not going to come in and just, you know, now once in a while, if you're just ignorant, you know, he might knock you off your horse and shine the light and blind your eyes for 3 days. He did for Saul, which became the Apostle Paul. But I think he was ignorantly seeking the truth, thinking that as I'm oppressing the church, I'm doing God a favor, and God says, no, you're not. So if you're walking in ignorance, sometimes he'll, you know, do that number. But most of the time, he's just going to wait on you because he's already given us the written word. In fact, remember in the parable where the man was in hell, he said, even if somebody came back from the dead and talked to you, you wouldn't believe if you didn't believe this. I used to think that's one place God missed it right there. Now, he just missed it right there because I would believe. But the older I get, I'm 51 now, and I think, you know what? Your mind is a tricky thing, isn't it? And about a few weeks after somebody had come back from the dead, you'd be thinking, was that pizza and onions, or was that a spirit? And in a year, and in 2 years, you know, you'd just be, it'd be, and I think, I thought, well, he's right again. Huh? But wouldn't you think on the surface if somebody from the dead came back and said, don't come here, there's a hell and you don't want to go. Don't you think that would just say, that's it, I'm not going. But he said, man, if you won't believe this, you wouldn't even believe it if a spirit came back and told you. And the reason is because we're walking in such darkness, we can't even see if a spirit himself came back and pleaded with us. But I think there's three voices that everybody hear. Let me tell you, here's the problem why we don't have extreme room makeovers in every area of our life. The inner voice is the first voice that we hear. The inner voice is that voice I've been talking to you about this morning, that old sin nature voice that always wants the best for you. When we brag on someone else, that inner voice is the one that says, well, I could do that. When somebody else gets a promotion, you're the one that's saying, well, I should have been promoted. When somebody else in the family gets something, you know, if you had a rich uncle saying he won the lottery and he gave everybody $1 million but you, you know, and maybe all of our inner voices would speak a little bit in that case. But to say, well, I'm just deserving as they are. It's always about you. It's about, you know, self. That's the inner voice. And we have to struggle with that our entire lives, I believe. You know, now you may get as sanctified enough that you don't have to struggle with that. But when it comes to promotion or getting or blessings or, you know, whatever it is, we're number one. You know, we want to be number one in sports. We want to be number one in business. We're number one. That's the sin nature that doesn't say anything about preferring your brother. Doesn't mention your brother, really. Doesn't think much about your brother. But it's that inner voice that's always there, just wanting what's best for us. And usually when you're talking about salvation, the inner voice is saying, oh, if you go to Jesus, you'll have to give up so much. You have to give up drinking, dancing, whatever you think you have to give up. You know, he didn't say you had to give up none of that. But I'm just saying, this is what we say in our head, you know. He didn't say you couldn't drink. He said, don't get drunk. And I used to get drunk. And I'm telling you, I didn't miss throwing up or none of that stuff after getting drunk. But didn't your inner voice say, you know, at the time, oh, you can't get drunk anymore. You know, whatever stupid stuff. I call it a stupid list after I got saved and I look back. It's a stupid list that your inner voice has, and it just says, oh, you know, have to quit having sex out of marriage, and the Bible does say you have to give that up. A lot of people just don't know that anymore. But how many knows it's still a sin? But here's what he'll do. If you're having sex outside of marriage, he'll take the desires away from you, and you'll either repent and the person you're with will love you and want to marry you, or you had the wrong person and they were just taking advantage of you. I'm telling you, God isn't against fun. Some of you young people, I'm telling you. I'm 51 and sex is good. So, oh, you shouldn't say that, Pastor. Well, I'm telling you, the devil tells them all the time, sex is good outside of marriage, and I'm trying to tell them sex is good inside of marriage.
That's right.
I'm 51. I had some good news the other day. The good news was somebody said that you can engage, couples can engage, weapon or 70s and 80s. And I thought, woohoo! See, sex is not dirty. It's not. Sex is what God gave us to enjoy and to have an intimate relationship with your spouse. And inside of marriage, we should paint a picture that it's one of the most beautiful things. But I'm just saying, in the inner voice, how Satan can join in with our inner voice and distort these things and make it dirty and make it feel like that God's against fun and something that he invented and he sanctions if it's done on his terms. But the inner voice does not think right because of its sin nature. Its sin nature. And if you think you don't have that inner voice talking to you, just wait till you come to His marvelous light. And you'll look back and see how much that inner voice talks. When your spouse makes you mad and aggravates you and you think they're wrong and you don't want to apologize, but you know as a Christian you need to, that's the inner voice. Now there's a second voice that talks to you, and it's Satan's voice. And some of you may have a hard time with that. Some of you may say, I don't believe in Satan. I don't believe in the devil, whatever you want to call him. I don't believe in that. And that's okay. It doesn't make him any less real if you don't believe in him. The New and Old Testament lists Satan like 49 times, and I think it's 57 times it talks about the devil in the New Testament. So it's over 100 times that the Bible mentions Satan or the devil. So what are you going to do with that in here? You going to tear out all those pages? What are you going to do with that? He said, well, I just don't believe he speaks to people. Well, he spoke to Jesus. In fact, in his ministry, when he started in ministry, and isn't it amazing that when he started in ministry is when Satan began to talk. That's why you see ministers running off with people's wives or, you know, whomever. Christians running off with people because Satan begins to talk to them about lust and about things that kill, steal, and destroy, the Bible says. That's how you recognize his satanic nature, is because in the reality of what that voice is trying to get you to do, it's going to steal, it'll be stealing something, killing something in you, or destroying something from you. That's the nature of the beast. And he's real. You see these kids with, you know, the satanic symbols, and some of them just ignorant, and they're just playing like on a pond, what I can see, like a pond that's covered over with ice, because they're talking about Satan, and they think it's cool, but I'm telling you, he's real, and he's out to kill, steal, and destroy, the Bible says. He's a thief and a liar and the father of all lies. That's what he brought to Jesus. And when he was led by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted, he came to him and gave him false promises. Exactly the same thing as he's using today as false promises. Here's one of his false promises. For young ladies or young men. Oh, if you'll just marry him or her, you can convert them. Ooh, that's a lie from the pits of hell. If they're not converted, if they're not Christian, you better not be yoked together with them. Because he'd love to get you hooked up with a non-believer. And I'm not saying they're not a good person. But when the Holy Spirit comes and it's time to deal with spiritual issues, now you got children, and how are you going to raise these children? Are you going to raise them with the knowledge of God or not with the knowledge of God? I'm just telling you, there's some deep issues. And that's just one area that he'll just lie to you. Because the Bible said not to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Yeah. There's all kinds of lies that he brings, but I'm just telling you, you know what? He's real. Jesus had to deal with him, and he came, and the Bible said he possessed people. He possessed animals. Revelation talks about in the last days he'll be bound for 1,000 years where he won't be able to tempt society. Oh, happy day. Then he'll be loose for a season, but you know what? Then he'll be cast in the bottomless pit in the lake of fire where he'll spend eternity. And then in Matthew it talks about there's a place called hell, and that's where he'll spend eternity. And the Bible said that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's why you and I don't want to go there. It wasn't prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Didn't your mom ever teach you don't want to go anywhere you're not invited? Huh? Yeah. You weren't invited. Now, you can go if you want to reject the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but that is not where God intended for you to go. That's why he said, I'm going to give you a firm foundation in Jesus Christ. I'm going to create a way that you can come to the cross. You can come to Jesus Christ. In every room that's got darkness, he's going to bring his marvelous light and his healing. And you'll experience the joy and peace and self-control and kindness and all the fruits of the Spirit as the Spirit is alive and working in you. That's the promise. That's the truth. And that's the third voice you'll hear is the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, come, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My burden's easy. My yoke is light and it's easy. Come. And that's the truth. That's the truth. And whatever the inner voice says and whatever the Satan says, it's a lie if it's trying to separate you from the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It's a lie. And it can seem so real until you just say, God, if you're real and if this is you, just show yourself to me. Reveal yourself. Come into my heart and life. And reveal yourself to me. I don't want this room anymore that's got cracks everywhere, that's decaying inside of me. I don't want this anymore. I don't want this anymore. I want your blessings. I want your peace. I want your joy. I want to lay down at night with sweet sleep and peace, and I want to wake up with it. Get up in the morning instead of saying, good Lord, this morning, saying, good morning, Lord. Yeah. That's what voice you want to listen to. Because He put you together. You're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And He knows how to tweak everything inside of you to make you the best that you can possibly be. Survey was done years and years ago among a group of millionaires trying to find the common denominator to see what made them tick and why they were successful. And one of the only few common denominators they could find among this group of millionaires was this. That each one of those millionaires could look at something, whether it's a person, a company, a piece of property, whatever it was, they could look at it and see the good inside, the potential inside of whatever it was they were looking at. See, because sometimes, like when I'm buying a house, I think, you know, I look at it and like, wow, what potential. Somebody else will buy and say, wow, what a mess. And that's why, and I love people to say, well, what a mess, because they just drive on by and I get it. Then I can do a little tweaking and put it back on the market and make some money so me and Janet can go on vacation. It's good stuff. So I'm not saying, criticizing people can't see. They just can't see. But I was thinking one day and I thought, that's a Jesus trait, isn't it? To see the good in whatever it is He's looking at. Because when He looked at you, He sees the good inside of you. He sees the good inside of you. When everybody else talks about your bad habits or your temperament or whatever it is that you display in public, you know, because whatever you display is what they talk about you. Did you know that? Some of you just got a really bad temper and you think nobody knows and they just love you to their face. They talk about you when you're gone. It's called fruit. They're talking about your fruit. Whether they're running you down or not, that's what they're talking about, your fruit. And so if you want to people talk nice about you, be nice. Yeah. Be nice. And when they're not around you, they'll say nice things about you. That's your fruit. That's your fruit. But it's time to hear the voice of God this morning. And every person in this building, if you leave here today without an extreme room makeover, you have no one to blame but you. You've listened to your inner voice and not the voice of the Holy Spirit, because He's here today and He's saying, come, I'll fix it. You can't fix it, and every time it falls around you, you ought to know that's you. And that's all you have to work with is you. And you don't know what to do and you feel the void in your heart and you're saying, how can I fix this? I'm telling you today, you can fix it through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ if you'll just come. If you're tired of the mess and want the restoration, all you have to do is come. He won't make you. He won't push you up out of your seat. But if you want to come, He's here to help repair you today. Let's pray. And we have prayer warriors coming at the altar, and they want to meet you here at the altar as we pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you today that you have promised us that all that will come who are heavy laden today, you've made a promise to them that you'll give them rest. We thank you for your promise. You said, my yoke or my strength, my grace, my love, my power, my blessings are available today if we'll just lean upon you and learn from you. We thank you that you said you're gentle and lowly in heart. And we thank you that you said that we will find rest for our souls in you. We thank you, Lord, that you said, my burden, my blessing, my ways are easy. And your burdens, Lord, your commandments that you have put on us is light. Because you're going to help us to live out the blessings and the fullness and the righteousness of Christ. You're going to help us enjoy the things that you've left us to enjoy. And to partake in the things that you have given us as a blessing. And you're not going to rob anything from us. You're just wanting to add to us a peace that passes understanding that we can live in every day. Abundant life. That we get up thinking, today I'll make a difference through Jesus Christ. Today my life will have significance because Jesus is alive and flowing in and through me today. What an awesome life you have given us. Now I pray, God, for my brothers and sisters. Maybe if there's one here today that has never made a public confession of Lord and Savior, invited you in and made you Lord and Savior over their lives. Today I call to them and the Holy Spirit calls to them, come and receive the blessings. Receive life. Receive the help and the power and the peace of God to come in and restore what Satan has made a mess of. And for those that claim the name of Christ but have a room in their heart, their soul, their spirit, their mind, somewhere in their being, that's a mess today. You're reaching out to them and you're saying, come today and let me fix it. Let me be Lord over that area in Jesus' name. And today, Lord, I ask you to give them strength to get up out of their seat and come to the altar and talk with you. To come and say, today I need Jesus. Today, make that declaration. Today I give Jesus Christ all authority over this area in my life. Today I give Him my life completely. Today I ask Him to come in and give me the peace in this area of my life. Give me victory in this area. Give me light and salt and all the things that will help me to be healed in my house, my body, my mind and my soul to be whole again in Jesus' name. The altar is open and we invite you to come. We invite you to come. Come and let Him restore today. Come and let Him heal today. Come and say, today I claim victory in Jesus' name. Today I just want to say to you that I'm inviting Jesus in. He's going to be boss. He's going to be Lord of this area in my life today. Anyone else? You need to come today? Don't leave a mess. If you leave a mess, it's only because of your inner voice is speaking to you. Would you come today and say, today is the day for my salvation. Today is the day for my victory. Today is the day that I won't walk in this mess anymore. Today is the day. Anyone else? Anyone else? You just need to come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for extreme makeovers today, God, provided by the Holy Spirit. Today, God, it'll be different from this day forward in the name of Jesus. He said, all that will come and call upon the name of the Lord, God, shall receive. And today they receive by faith in Jesus' name. Today the light will be shining upon their hearts and lives and their situation. And the peace and the wisdom of God will come and anoint them, God, today. And the help and the hope and the strength that they need today will be provided because they've come today. For an extreme makeover through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Now, God, fill them with joy and peace and your power and your presence and your blessings in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No more. No more unnecessary battles today in Jesus' name. Today, God, we claim victory for them in Jesus' name. God, today you be Lord and Savior in this area in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, for those that are in their seat that didn't come today, that you've been dealing with, I pray over them in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that you would just touch their heart right where they are. That you'll help them to call out to you right now and say, Lord, be Lord and Savior over this area of my life. Deliver me, God, from darkness. Deliver me from sin, from contradicting your word. Deliver me, God, from the mess in Jesus' name. Help them, Lord, right where they are to call upon you in Jesus' name. Restore and heal, God, what Satan has destroyed. What Satan has brought in is confusion. Bring light and knowledge and wisdom to them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we thank you for every person in this room that has made you Lord and Savior over every room in their house, every area of their life. Thank you, Lord. Use them as vessels of honor to go out and win a lost and dying world, to spread the good news and the hope of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Strengthen them and anoint them today with a new anointing, God, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday and the power of God and the love of Jesus Christ and the love of the Father. Bless them, God, today and help them, give them a new boldness to go out and share the gospel and share what you've given to them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For those that are going to be baptized, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and come. Guys, if you will use this, go through this door right here, and you can change your clothes right here. And Tammy, you can go to the other side over here, this door behind the drums, and change, and we'll get ready for our baptism. Thank you, Lord. You can go through all the way around if you want to, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise Jesus. God, we thank you for those that have come boldly today for extreme makeover of the heart. And we thank you, God, for their boldness to come and to receive the help and hope of Jesus Christ. Now, God, be glorified in their faith walk right now. What they've asked for and what they believe for in the name of Jesus, we ask that they would just take that now and walk in healing and walk in victory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We're going to have communion. But before we do, I want to show you a quick video. Have we got the video just about keyed up back there? We've put out an ad in the paper. In fact, we have a potential audience, I'm told, of this extreme room makeover. We've had a potential audience of somewhere around 40 to 60,000 people. And we stand in awe and amazement. And we just had to come to the conclusion that God had His hand in this. This endeavor, because this is an extreme room makeover that our church is providing free, and we just thought hundreds at least would apply. And we had this applicant send her tape in early, and it touched my heart, and I thought, wow. Before we received any more tapes or whatever, and so I thought this lady is precious, so we just wanted to share the video with you, and this is our winner of our extreme room makeover. And what is amazing, it just blew our minds. She is the only applicant that sent in out of a potential audience to 40,000 to 60,000 people. I believe, Julia Croft, God is looking after you. That's what everybody kept coming saying, Pastor, this must be a God thing, because it just blew our mind. And but just listen, now the first part of her video, you can tell she's not a photographer or a videographer, whatever you call it. It's a little, but it comes in, and so let's watch this, and then we'll have her come.
Hello, my name is Julia. I'm 52 years old. The job that I have currently is assisting senior citizens so that they can stay independent and stay in their own homes. It's a very rewarding job, and that I feel good being able to help other people, but it doesn't pay a whole lot. And I think it's wonderful what your ministry is doing. And I would like to submit my name for a bedroom makeover, which I am in desperate need of. I'll show you. This is my bedroom suite, and it is nearly 30 years old. I had a king-size bed that I got when I was living in a much larger home. I don't know if you can see, but there's not a whole lot of room in the bedroom for my bedroom suite right now. So I would like to be able to have a new one, maybe downsize to a queen size, and get things better, nicer, get something brand new for a change. Thank you very much for your consideration. I look forward to meeting all of you at your church.
Amen. Miss Julia Croft, would you come? Amen. Congratulations. Can we have some house lights back there, guys? Kyle at the lights. Would you give us some lights on the house? We want to congratulate you and thank you. Tell us about what you do for the seniors.
Well, I work for an agency called Visiting Angels, and we go to seniors' homes and assist them with house, light housekeeping, run errands, take them to appointments, companionship, just any little thing they need to stay in their own homes and not have to go to an assisted living center, because that's important to a lot of people. They're more comfortable in their own homes.
Yes. And she said something, little things. Did you ever catch in the Bible where he said, when you've done it to the least of these, you have done it unto me? And so thank you for all your years of service, and we're looking forward to coming to your house. And my daughter right over there, Summer, she used to work at Mathis Brothers, and she did decorations and stuff for them and arranging rooms, and she's going to be your personal helper to guide you through and to get the room that you want the way you want it. And congratulations.
Thank you.
God bless. Amen. Amen. Just God works, doesn't he? God works. And you know, one of the key things, the neat things about all this is we did a little experimenting this week on renovation. And I believe it's just a God thing that he gave us. It's going to save us thousands of dollars in shortcuts on how we can renovate this wing and different parts of the building. And I believe it's because we are trying to sow what we want to reap. And so keep that in mind as you sow your seeds. What is it in your life that you need? And I'm just amazed at how God teaches us, you know, his simple word. And if we need something, we think if we need something, we need to save for it. Well, sometimes we do need to save for it, but if you need something, sometimes you need to plant for it. And that's what he's teaching us. So we're looking forward to working with Julia and her room, and congratulations again. We're going to take communion today. We usually do that on Easter Sunday, and the juice that is being served today represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you. The Bible says it takes away the sins of the world. It doesn't just cover them like sheep and things used to do in the Old Testament. That's why the New Testament had to be, because when John looked at Jesus, the first time he looked upon him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." The bread that we'll serve represents His broken body, which was broken for you. Jesus took our sins, your sins and my sin, upon His person and nailed them to the cross. And because of His sinless life, He became the supreme sacrifice for me and you. And so today, if you're visiting, we have open communion and we invite you to come and to partake of the Lord's Supper. And